big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Pro Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Senno, as we are recapping the Sunday NFL slate here, guys. If you missed anything, we have you covered from a betting perspective. And I'll tell you, Mark, it was a full day of action as we had one across the pond there in London, Baltimore and Tennessee, going all the way down to the Giants and Bills Sunday night football. If you missed anything, guys, we got you covered here. We'll recap the games and take a look ahead towards next week's slate at the end of the show, plus Monday night football coming up. But Mark, throw it over to you. Overall thoughts for the Sunday slate. How'd it treat you?
Went 2-1 for the day, and it treated me as much, you know, We have no undefeated teams left. We saw the 49ers go down. We saw the Eagles go down. So the 72 Dolphins popped their champagne as the only undefeated team in NFL history. So there's that.
I saw that Larry Zonka tweet. It looked like a fun picture. That's pretty cool that they're able to do that. You know, a little, hey, yeah. Each and every year for how many years now? That's kind of cool. But, yeah, man, you know, the Sunday slate – it was enjoyable. It was fun to watch. There were some upsets as well, which we're going to get into here, Mark. And first off, I mean, another London game. You know, we've had, what, 3 or 4 weeks in a row now. Are you a fan of this? Like, as a NFL fan and better, do you like them doing this? Do you wish it would be every week? Or you wish they would do away with it?
London games are really hard to handicap. You're better off handicapping the game when they come back. You know, like the Ravens and Titans will be interesting handicaps next week, because there's a lot more predictability in that. But for the most part, yeah. I'm not a fan of them, you know. Plus, my mind isn't right, like, by 9:30 in the morning on Sundays, you know. I got to go to church. I got to have my coffee and get breakfast in. It just all happens too fast for me.
The one plus I will say, and they could do this other ways, is we don't have 9 games stacked up at 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, because that's also a little bit difficult as a sports bettor to kind of, I guess, you know, get all of that information with that many games playing in one time slot. So that's one plus, but there's other ways around that. They could put 2 Monday nighters, you know, something like that. One on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. That's my suggestion, but hey, just a little fan perspective there. I guess we'll start off 9:30 a.m. Eastern, 6:30 a.m. Pacific in London, England, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It was 24-16. That was the Baltimore Ravens on top of the Tennessee Titans here. Mark, 42 was the total. So landing right near there, staying just under -5. That was the Ravens as the quote unquote road favorite. They did act as the road team, neutral site. They win 24-16, win and cover, game stays just under. What'd you take away from across the pond this morning?
Boy, if you thought the Titans offense was bad at Ryan Tannehill, you should watch it play at Malik Willis. God, it's awful. Titans just offensively are bad. They have it's amazing how they can't get better with Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins. You would think that that would be a recipe for them to be better, but it's not a recipe for them to be better. Why? Because guess what? You know, they're not good. So their defense is always having to keep them in games. They're always playing in a negative game script. And, you know, outside of Derrick Henry having a huge run in the third quarter that led to a touchdown, like, I don't even know if they find the end zone offensively.
That was a funny lead in there, Mark. If you thought it was bad with Ryan Tannehill, should see it now. But, hey, good
Malik
breakdown, guys.
Malik Willis is not an NFL quarterback. He belongs in the XFL or whatever league they're calling it now that they merged this, that, and the other. He's not an NFL quarterback. It's just the reality of the situation.
What round did he get drafted in? Was it the third? Because I remember in that draft, what, a couple years ago, people were talking about him possibly going number one overall. I don't know if you remember that, Senno. And I was a guy that watched a lot of his college football. And that season at Liberty, they didn't play anybody. So, like, his stats were really good. And nobody was talking about that. I don't know if you remember that.
You and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago about drafting non-Power 5 quarterbacks and the lack of success that they've really had. Again, if you want to take an undrafted, you want to take him as an undrafted free agent, that's fine. But expending draft capital on a non-Power 5 quarterback like the Falcons did with Desmond Ridder, like the Titans did with Malik Willis, guess what? Yeah, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah, Matt helping us out in the background here. Shout out to you, Matt, producer's seat. He went third round, I think 88th pick. So he didn't go, you know, first round, but I do remember a lot of people talking about that. And hey, a little bit of a rough go so far. We got next game up right in your neck of the woods here, Mark. Washington, the former football team at the Atlanta Falcons, 24-16. This was one of the games I actually lost on, Mark. It was a good Sunday otherwise, but 42 was the total, stays just under. And the Falcons, the Dirty Birds, were the -2, -1.5 point closing favorite, and they go down outright. What'd you take away from the ATL?
Desmond Ridder throws 3 interceptions a week after being really good. He was really bad. You know, the Falcons, if you watch down the stretch there, multiple times they could not get the play in and get the playoff on time and took delay of game penalties. They had to burn their last time out because they couldn't get the playoff in time. Like, it was really embarrassing. It was a bad look for Arthur Smith and the Falcons offense. You know, and again, their defense, which has been really good, gave up 17 points in the first half. And, you know, they were playing from behind the sticks the whole time. And you know, I would have thought the Falcons were the side there for a lot of people, but they did not play well, and it showed. But the crazy part is that if you look at the box score of that game, Drew, you'd shake your head about how the Falcons actually lost the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough one. Seeing the Falcons go down, not only my ticket. I mean, one thing I want to ask you, though, Mark, I know you're close to the Falcons. They are sitting at 3-3 overall. By the way, I want to throw this out. That was Desmond Ridder's first loss at home as the starting quarterback in 32 straight games. Mark, that goes all the way back to high school. That's pretty amazing, no?
I don't see the correlation. It's coincidence. It's just coincidence. I don't put a lot of stock into that, but I guess people do.
Yeah, when you're making it into the NFL, what is second year now in the NFL, and you go all the way back to high school winning all your games at home? I just thought that was very interesting. But they're 3-3 in the NFC South, just a half a game back from Tampa Bay. What odds are you giving them to actually make the playoffs here? Somebody's got to make it from this division, Mark.
I don't think anybody wants to, especially the Saints played today.
All right, so just right down the line, maybe 1-3. Carolina's probably not making it, so you give them 33% chance?
Something like that, yeah.
Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, guys. We got a break coming up, but we're recapping all the games. Next one up, Vikings and Bears. Stay with us. This is Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Pro Football Full Circle. If you missed anything on the Sunday slate, we got you covered from a betting perspective right here on Sports Grid each and every Sunday night. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, breaking it down game by game, going down the slate. Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country, thanks for joining us. Next game up, we're going to head to the Windy City. NFC North matchup here, 19-13. That was Minnesota over the Chicago Bears, Mark. 45 was the total. It stays under. Minnesota wins. They cover the -3 as the road favorite. Did you take anything away from Chicago on Sunday?
Vikings offense did not look good. Not as good as we're typically accustomed to seeing. Of course, no Justin Jefferson. So that changes the game for them. Once the Bears lost Justin Fields, they had no shot. I am thankful for that fourth quarter touchdown that they scored to get me a backdoor cover on the tees that I had with the Bears +8.5. So very thankful for that. And that's about it.
Hey, we'll head to Cincinnati up next, not far away. Seattle Seahawks at the Cincinnati Bengals. 17-13 here, guys, as the Bengals at home win and cover the -3 home favorite roll. 45.5 being the total. Another under, as we're seeing a bunch of unders from Saturday. Mark, what'd you take away from Cincinnati, the Queen City, on Sunday?
Maybe the Bengals offense isn't all that good. Is it possible? Because other than the one game that they've scored against Arizona, guess what? Find me the offense for that team, because I don't see it. Like that's my take. Cincinnati may be an under team more than anything else.
Sure, I don't disagree with you, Mark. I mean, you think part of it is Burrow not being 100%, or you think he's back and it's just the offense overall?
I mean, again, you know, they scored 24 against the Ravens, but outside of the 34 against the Cardinals, 17-3, 19-3. I mean, you know, they're not scoring a ton of points here, so I don't know how they fix this.
Next one up, we will head down to San Francisco and Cleveland. Talk about one of the upsets here. Near double-digit favorite, San Francisco 49ers. One of two undefeated teams coming in, going down outright. We saw this Browns defense, you know, depending what rankings you want to go off of, near top in the NFL, San Francisco right up there with them. 36 being the total, lands right there at the number, 35.5, depending where you were shopping. So maybe an over, maybe a push on the total, but either way, sidewise, San Francisco goes down outright and as the favorite. So Cleveland cashing some tickets, both spread and money line. What'd you take away from Cleveland today, Mark?
I mean, tip your hat to the Cleveland defense. We knew the Cleveland defense was going to be good, but the 49ers offense looked as inept as we've seen it look since Brock Purdy took over at starter. I mean, that's just what it is. So that Browns defense is every bit as legit as you think it is. Again, they lose Debo Samuel, the Niners did. They couldn't really run the ball that well. P.J. Walker didn't play great. He didn't throw a touchdown. He had two interceptions. I mean, you know, it was a defensive slugfest, and maybe there was an overinflated line based off of the fact that, you know, Deshaun Watson wasn't playing. A lot of people like me who had the Niners very earlier in the week at 4.5 were still on the wrong side. So even with a great number and a 5-point spread advantage, because it was 9.5 by kickoff, guess what? You lost anyway.
What closing CLV trophy for you, Mark? And that doesn't do it, right? When you lose the bet, it's not enough. That's a sports bettor. It hurts. It makes it actually even worse in some cases, worse. I feel. It's like you feel smart and you lose your money. That's like, I'd rather feel dumb and lose my money, to tell you the truth, guys. But hey, maybe I'm in my own boat. I don't know. We got New Orleans. And yeah, not lose money is the key there. We got New Orleans and Houston up next here, Mark. This was a good one, with the Texans winning 20-13. They do so as the 2-point home underdog, that is, 42 being the total. Another game that stays under, and we saw the home underdog barking here in Houston, Texas. What'd you take away from Saints and Texans today, Mark?
One of the things I got right was that I gave out CJ Stroud to throw his first interception of the year. And he did. The Saints are now either tied for first or first in interceptions. And Stroud should have thrown one last week against the Falcons, didn't. Threw one. Here's the interesting part about this. Threw an interception, I think, on his second or third drive of the game. And somehow, during the return, the Saints fumbled it, gave it back to the Texans. And the Texans went down the field and scored a touchdown for it. So it didn't even hurt him. The Saints defense, I guess, did their job. Their offense is pathetic. It's really bad. I can't figure it out. And oh, by the way, this was a game that I had targeted for the first half under, which was at 20.5. They scored a combined 27 and then proceeded to only score 6 points the rest of the game. So there you go. Sometimes better to play the full game than the first half.
Mark, last year's NFL draft quarterback, CJ Stroud, projecting out, you think he's going to be the best when it's all said and done?
Too early to say, but he's the best this year. You know, I mean, that's enough. I mean, he clearly has a great command of an offense, and he's got all the tools he needs, and he's smart with the football. And, you know, Texans got a good one. They may be set up here in the future.
Something to watch going forward here, guys, is Bryce Young looks to struggle out the gate. C.J. Stroud catching some wins here with the Houston Texans. We'll move down the list here with Indianapolis at Jacksonville. 1 o'clock Eastern kick here, Mark. 37-20. That was the Jags coming back home off the London series. -4 point home favorites. They win, cover easily. 44 being the total. Finally, we get an over game. That was, six games in a row that we just hit under. So one over here. What'd you take away from North Florida?
Anybody who wants to tell you that the Colts offense get a bump with Gardner Minshew, that person's an idiot. Gardner Minshew stinks. Okay. So I don't believe for once he's a guy that is going to make the offense any better. And he wasn't today. So point simply is the Colts felt like a sharp square dog here today as they were getting 4.5, and they never really got into this thing.
I see what you're saying there, like the sharp dog angle. I don't know that that's always the case. It really hasn't paid off so far in the NFL. Let's get one more before the break. Heading down to South Florida, Carolina Panthers, Miami Dolphins. You know, this was a rough start for the Dolphins, laying 2 touchdowns. They end up winning 42-21 as the offense starts to light fire. Bryce Young, hey, this offense did put up 21. However, they don't stay within the 14. What'd you take away from Miami Gardens today?
I saw that the Panthers were the largest underdog to have a 14-point lead and still not cover the spread since 2001.
Wow.
So okay. They had a 28-point lead and didn't cover. I mean, that's hard to do. They're going to continue to struggle offensively. And, I actually laid the 13.5 for the Dolphins and came out on the right side. So all things considered, there's a little bit of a sweat early on, but, Dolphins get us home. So they're going to continue to put up points. They got a very interesting matchup next week. The Dolphins do. Let's see how it pans out. But they're also not playing really good defenses. So there's that.
Man, Dolphins next week, who do they got? They got, Philadelphia, the Eagles, yeah. Sunday Night Football. You like anything there out the gate? -2, I'm seeing the Eagles.
I have to see what the Eagles injury report looks like.
Something will break down at the...
Might have been the best thing that the Eagles lost this week. They'll be refocused next week.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the Dolphins, 72 Dolphins, guys. I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, but they're celebrating with both the undefeated NFL teams left coming into this week going down. So there won't be an undefeated team again. And they were popping the champagne bottles. Short break. More recaps on the other side, guys. SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Sports Grid, pro football full circle, breaking down the games from Sunday. If you missed anything, we got you covered. Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. As we're moving down the list here, guys, Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, breaking it down. We got Detroit and Tampa Bay, one of the more impressive, I think, kind of performances here from the day's slate is the Lions going on the road, winning 20-6. Over the Bucs. They did so as 3-point road favorites, 43 being the total. It stays under. I said impressive just because the Lions out the gate looking stronger than most would have thought. Jared Goff, forget his against the spread stats, but one of the most profitable quarterbacks in the NFL, to tell you the truth here, Mark, from a betting perspective. But anyway, what'd you take away here from Tampa with the Lions going on the road, winning and covering?
You know, the line was stinky from the beginning of the week when it was only 3 points for the Lions, and it kind of screamed, take the Bucs, right? There were certain 3.5s popping up. I thought a lot of that was from Jared Goff's home road splits, which have been terrible. He's been bad on the road significantly throughout his career. And I guess the Buccaneers felt like since they were wearing their old creamsicle uniforms that they had to play at the level of the creamsicle teams, which was absolute dog crap. The Buccaneers are not good. Baker Mayfield is not good. Don't let anybody tell you that the Buccaneers have a good offense. Don't let anybody tell you that Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback. He's not. He's just not. Like, that's the bottom line here. The bottom line here is simply that the Lions took advantage of a really bad team and a bad offense, and it was disgusting. I was mad at myself for betting the Buccaneers. I genuinely was. For thinking for 1 second that that team could hang with the Lions.
Mark, let me throw a stat out at you, and I want to hear your response. Jared Goff, shout out to Matt, one of our producers behind the scenes, putting me onto this last week. Jared Goff, with this win, now moves to 44-24-1 the last 5 years against the spread. That's 20 games over. I'm just going off the top of my head, and I'm not comparing. I mean, that's got to be the best ATS mark from any quarterback in the NFL. 20 games over 500 against the spread. You've been making serious money if you've been betting on Jared Goff. Is he underrated in your opinion?
No, he's a dog a lot. He's been a dog a lot because they haven't been good. So when you make your team competitive and good and you're always priced as an underdog, you're going to make a lot of money off of it.
But wouldn't that be underrated? I mean, against what people are pricing you at?
I guess it depends on how you look at it. I mean, you know, I just think it's easier for dogs to cover because they don't have to win games.
I mean, I kind of point towards just not turning the ball over, throwing accurate footballs, and having a good deep ball. You know, when you watch him throw the deep ball, he puts air under it. He gives his guys a chance. I think there's something to that, guys. Maybe look to bet a little bit more on Jared Goff and think twice before you fade him moving forward. We'll move forward, and we'll head to Las Vegas, Nevada, with the New England Patriots and the Las Vegas Raiders. Last two teams not to score more than 20 points on the season, and one of them did so today, Mark. And they did so, interestingly enough, at the end of the game by getting a safety to move to 21 points and get the win. That was the Las Vegas Raiders as the -3-point favorite. So the safety gets the cover if you bet it. If you bet the Raiders, 41.5 was the total. Towards the under, it hits. Unders, betters, cash. Las Vegas Raiders, betters, cash as well as the Raiders win at home, 21-17. Over the Patriots. What'd you take away from Las Vegas, Mark?
I had the Raiders -2.5. And for everybody who bet the Patriots +3 and end up feeling like the safety robbed them of that, you didn't pay attention to the game close enough. You got very lucky to even be within 2 because of a really stupid penalty by Max Crosby. When the Patriots were trying to go in for that score that brought them to 17, it was third down. It was third and goal from outside the 10-yard line. And it took an idiotic penalty, a roughing the passer penalty, that ended up giving them a brand new first down and a brand new set of downs. And that's when they scored their touchdown. Otherwise, Bill Belichick would have kicked the field goal and it would have been 19-13. And my guess is the Raiders would have been able to run out the clock and end the game that way. So Max Crosby giveth, and then he taketh away because he was the guy who got the sack for the safety. So I don't think the Raiders were the wrong side. I don't think the Raiders were the lucky side. I think they were the right side. Patriots are a bad football team. They're bad on offense, and guess what? That showed up today.
Raiders sitting at 3-3 in the AFC West now, Mark. What kind of chances are you giving them to have a puncher's chance at making the playoffs here, Mark? You think they got a legit chance?
I mean, if I told you the Raiders and the Bengals were going to have the same record after 6 games, you would have went, oh, so the Raiders turned out to be pretty good. No, well, the Bengals turned out to be pretty bad. So, I mean, yes, they have a chance. You know, I mean, they're in position. They've got to get a lot better on offense. Their defense is actually playing better than most people would have expected, though.
Also, Jimmy G going out with a back injury, yes. Something to watch there, guys, offensively. So you think that hurts him offensively a big notch anyway?
Absolutely. Brian Hoyer is a journeyman backup for a reason.
Fair enough, guys. Watch the Raiders going forward. We got next game up. L.A. Rams, Arizona Cardinals here. We saw it go 26-9. That was the Rams on top of the Cardinals. They win. They cover the 7, 48 being the total. Another under here, Mark, is it was an under Sunday in the NFL. What'd you take away from the Cardinals and the Rams from Los Angeles?
Yeah, Rams were a great teaser option this week. I didn't know if I wanted to lay the 7 with them. Cardinals kind of been sneaky at times and showing up games you don't think so. But the Rams defense held them scoreless in the second half there after trailing 9-6 at halftime. And the rest of the offense did the job that they were supposed to do for Matt Stafford and company. And the Rams sort of get an easy cover here. Once this thing got to the fourth quarter, it was kind of a no sweat cover for Los Angeles. But, you know, again, the Rams continue to play better than most people expected them to. And, oh, by the way, I remember you and I talking several months ago, about the Rams and talking about their division win total prop of over 2.5. They need one more division win this year, the Rams do. And they'll still face the Cardinals one more time and the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm seeing the Rams 3-3. I mean, coming off the top of my head, yeah, that was a good look by you, Mark, in their division wins. But the NFC is just loaded with 3-3 teams. I mean, I'm seeing the Rams, the Seahawks have 3 wins, the Saints have 3 wins, the Falcons, the Bucks. I mean, there is the Cowboys, Washington. This is loaded with teams going to be vying for the last one or two playoff spots, man. So I guess I got to ask you here, what chances are you giving the Rams? You like them to make the playoffs in the NFC?
No, because I think the NFC is deeper than people are giving it credit for. You know, I know we focus so much on the AFC being the deeper division or the deeper conference rather, but you know, you're going to get an NFC South team to make it. You might get two. It kind of depends on the NFC North, too, if anybody is going to be competitive there, if the Packers can get back in this thing. But, you know, in theory, you could have the Commanders, the Cowboys, and the Eagles all make it from the NFC East.
Yeah, heavy NFC East presence also at the 3-win mark with Washington and Dallas. We could fit one more here before the break, Mark, and then we'll hit Sunday night and take a look ahead towards next week's lines, guys. We had the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Football Jets. 20-14, that was the underdog barking in New Jersey with the Jets winning outright as the 6.5-point dog, 43.5 being the total. Game, another under here, and the Jets win. What'd you take away from MetLife today, Mark?
Defense. It's the ultimate equalizer in this game. And the Jets got a really good one, and they held the Eagles scoreless in the entire second half, and Jalen Hurts threw 3 picks, and guess what? You know, defense at 11, and the Jets didn't even have Sauce Gardner today, by the way. When you have a defense at their level, you're always going to be in a game. They're always going to keep you in a game.
Man, the Jets, those clean green helmets, looking good and playing some defense. Like you said, defense, keeping you in games, guys. And something I took from my producer, Frank, saying, you know, Philadelphia couldn't push around the New York Jets up front and kind of bullying them. That's something to kind of keep in mind, I think, with the Eagles against good defensive fronts. Maybe looking to fade them. You think there's anything to that, Zeno?
I mean, the Eagles are not as good as their record would indicate, if you ask me. They're just not. You know, they are not a team that I think really has dominated anybody other than beating the Buccaneers. And I told you what I think about them already. So other than that, that's not a team that I think really, you know, is as good as 5-1 suggests.
And with the Jets, I mean, I bring it up again, another 3-3 team here. 500 through 6 games with Zach Wilson as the quarterback. I don't know, man. A lot of people writing them off. What are you thinking about their chances to make the playoffs?
No, I think they have a good chance to make the playoffs because their defense is good. You know, their schedule down the stretch, you know, as we start to see things unfold, is starting to look a little bit more favorable. Look at the gauntlet of teams they faced the first 6 weeks. You know, and they ended up at 500 with a backup quarterback. Can't complain. They got the toughest part of their schedule out of the way.
Sure, and beating the undefeated Eagles today, guys, setting them up pretty nicely. We'll take a look ahead towards the matchups for next week's slate on the other side. Plus, hit Sunday night football here, the Giants and the Bills. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Pro Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid Sunday nights. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us, recapping all the games. And we got Sunday night football to recap here. New York Giants, Buffalo Bills, battle in the state of New York. Bills went off as a minus 16-point favorite, 43.5 being the total. We get another under mark. And this game comes right down to the end, literally two plays from the one-yard line, as there was a pass interference and an untimed down to end it with the Bills, Tyrod Taylor at the quarterback position. And to tell you the truth, bringing up a defensive pass interference to get this untimed down, Mark, call comes down to the end. There could have been another defensive pass interference at the end with a jersey pull. Either way, it's not called, and the Bills win 14-9. However, they do not cover the number. Game stays under. What'd you take away from Buffalo tonight?
The Giants are a comedy of errors. I mean, I bet the Giants team total over 14.5. They had two plays on the one-yard line and couldn't find, you know, they technically had three plays on the one-yard line, one at the end of the first half and two at the end of the fourth quarter, and couldn't find the end zone once. Whatever. The team is a joke. I hope they go 1-16. I hope they lose every game the rest of the year. I mean,
What do you think of the play calls there at the end? I thought they should have ran it that second time.
Well, they were smart enough to at least do play action, but they didn't spread anybody out after play action. I mean, I keep watching. Darren Waller is clearly getting held on that final play. That's pathetic. It's pathetic that the official there missed the whole thing. I don't understand how he doesn't call it twice in a row. I mean, he's clearly grabbing his jersey and holding his arm. I mean, it's wow. I mean, it's the more I watch it, the more it's annoying. But whatever.
I wonder if there's a human element to it.
I have nothing positive to say about the Giants.
I wonder if there's a human element to the referee calling the pass interference the play before, not wanting to do it twice in a row. I wonder if that's in the back of his mind. It might be for my mind. That's why I bring that up. But yeah, tough way to go down, man. You have your backup quarterback on the road. You got a chance to win the game. I mean, there's something to be said for the Giants defense holding the Bills, which at times has been a good offense. I mean, it might not be all bad for the Giants moving forward, but at the same time, that offensive line, that was a mess really all game long. I don't know how you're going to fix that.
Yeah, well, again, the officials will have something to answer for. The Giants shouldn't have been in this position, to be honest with you. With how bad their clock management was at the end of the first half, the fact that they don't even have, like, you know, a chance, they should have had a minimum of field goal at the end of the first half. And if they didn't, guess what? They should have had a touchdown. So you can't even get mad. I can't even get mad at the lack of a DPI call other than, well, NFL officials stink. They always will stink, and they'll always ruin the game. You know, that's just part of what it is.
The Bills shut out through three quarters, find a way to win, first time since 1987. Being shut out at home for the first three quarters and winning the game as they put in two touchdowns at the end in the final quarter to win the game 14-9. They do not cover. Giants backers do cover with the 5-point loss, catching 15. Game stays under. A lot of unders from Sunday, guys. That was one theme from the day. I believe only two overs as I look at it off the top. But we do have a Monday nighter coming up. That's the Dallas Cowboys and the LA Chargers. Competitively priced game for Monday night here, Mark. We are seeing minus one in the hook. That's the Cowboys as the road favorites, 51 being the total. And I'll tell you, Mark, it's going to be a lot of Cowboys fans in attendance there in Southern California. We got the Bolts, the Cowboys. What are you thinking Monday night? What's your original thoughts?
What do you call it? I want to take the Cowboys, but you know, I don't know. I don't know how they bounce back after last week. That's the real thing. I don't know how they bounce back. That's a hard part for me to figure out. I think teasing the Chargers is a great move. If you can find something that you want to pair it with, but I absolutely think teasing the Chargers is a great move because I don't think the Cowboys win this game by margin.
It's two and two for the Chargers and Dallas Cowboys sitting at 3-2. Monday Night Football here, guys. 3-2 ATS for the Cowboys. Just 1-3 for the Chargers. So they've been a little bit overpriced. I kind of like the Cowboys. I know going on the road can be tough, but I don't think it will be that hostile of an environment. I don't love it. I don't know if I'll get there. Kind of looking towards the Cowboys, Mark. I think even more so, the theme of the week, under, is 51. We get a high total here. I know the Chargers more of an over team, but I kind of like the under 51. Do you like anything with the total?
I would tend to think it goes over, but the Cowboys defense is banged up. So I don't know if it's going to be as great as we think it is.
Okay. Well, let's start to look ahead towards next week's slate. We got a Thursday nighter here, Jaguars and the Saints. We're seeing a pick'em price, 41.5 as the total. We've seen these Thursday games. I mean, I know the NFL, Amazon, how much billion dollars they got to do it. I'm not a huge fan of these Thursday night games, particularly like we just saw Jacksonville play today. They got to travel, short week. The product isn't the best that the NFL puts out, but hey, it's about the dollars getting the midweek game. Another game, I think the under 41.5. Give me the Saints at home. Do you like anything in the Big Easy Thursday night?
The under with the Saints, it's always a good play.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that, guys. Yeah, that's the way I would look at it. Maybe circle the Saints here. But even more so, we've seen this total open up 42.5, down a tick towards the under. With the Saints, I mean, at least in my opinion, you know, having a pretty good defense here. They've gone 1-4, 1-5 towards the under. So 5 unders in their first 6 games, them being at home. Difficult place for the Jags. It would be a fun one to watch sidewise. Total, I like the under. Looking ahead towards next week's Sunday slate, seeing the Falcons at the Bucks. Bucks minus 2.5, 40 being the total. I know you follow the Falcons pretty closely there, being close to the organization. And you mentioned that Tampa Bay, you know, this past week against the Lions being the side. Mark, this is one, I don't know, Falcons? Could you jump on the Dirty Birds here as the short road underdog?
Yes, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers shouldn't be favored, period. End of conversation.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't play a very good defense this week, and they couldn't do anything. They're going to play a good defense next week in the Falcons. I'd take the Falcons into points.
That's an early game. Yeah, I would look towards the Falcons, guys. You can get the 2 and a hook.
I would tease the Chargers and the Falcons right now.
Okay. So you get, 8.5 with the Falcons? And then that would put the Chargers at what?
Seven and a half.
Okay. Yeah, a little teaser option. Open leg, week to week. But yeah, you can do that. Why not? A little tease in the NFL. What about the Raiders and the Bears? Seeing the Raiders minus 3-point road favorite, 40 being the total. A little injury there for the Bears quarterback. A little thumb injury, Mark?
Injury for the Raiders quarterback, too. I can't even touch this game until I have any idea what the situation looks like. So I wouldn't even waste any energy on it.
The Raiders eclipsing the 20-point mark this past week for the first time this season, given a safety at the end of the game, interestingly enough.
I don't care that the Chargers are on a short week going on the road. I'll absolutely take the 6 points for the Chargers next week in Kansas City.
Okay, let me bring that one up. We got 51. I'm seeing minus 5.5 here. That's the Chiefs. So short week. Is that one that you would get down now, or would you wait until after Monday Night Football? Because if the Chargers look good, you might lose a little point spread value, if you know what I mean.
I know that those games are always tight. The Chargers always seem to play the Chiefs pretty tight. And the Chiefs don't tend to win games. You know, they don't tend to cover double-digit spreads. I mean, this thing is under a touchdown, but still, I would lean on the Chargers here. I'd want to see how tomorrow night goes for the Chargers and how they play, but typically going on the road after a Monday night game is a recipe for disaster. however, I still think the Chargers would keep that game close.
Big one Sunday night. Dolphins and Eagles. We touched on it earlier. Eagles -2.5 at home, 52.5 being the total. This is a good one next week, guys. Make sure to tune in here. Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. This is Sports Grid. Man, Dolphins on the road, catching 2.5. Philadelphia not looking all that great. And I go back to what Matt said, our producer. I don't know if Miami's defensive front is strong enough. Probably not as good as the New York Jets and being able to stop the Eagles' run game. You give them a shot to give them some trouble defensively. I think both teams will be able to score. Do you like anything next Sunday night?
What's that total? 52.5? That's a big number. I would probably take Miami. Let's see how they handle going on the road, though. It's going to be an insane crowd next Sunday night.
It will.
I'd probably just take Miami on the money line and take the plus money. I don't think the points are going to matter, to be honest with you.
Okay. What, 2.5? That translates. Well, I'll pull it up. We get plus one. Miami. Yeah, plus 115, plus 120, I'm seeing. What about this Bills-Patriots game, man? Bills laying 9.5 on the road off of this Sunday night performance. Patriots, only team left in the NFL, not scoring more than 20 points. You going to lay a number with the Bills or stay away or jump in here on Bill Belichick and company?
It's in Foxborough, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. No, I'm not laying it with the Bills. Not right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is in Foxborough.
Figure out all these injuries that they have on both sides of the ball and what it's doing to their team. They're competitive and good enough to win games. I just don't know if they can do it by margin again.
You know, another one, a good one, the Lions and the Ravens, 44.5 being the total, Ravens -2 in the hook at home. We just brought up Jared Goff and those ATS stats, 20 games over 500 the last 5 years, 44-24. He's catching a small number given against the Ravens. Ravens, what tough travel spot back from London. You liking anything?
I would take the over 44 before that gets 44.5. 44 is a key total number. I would get on over 44 right now.
Okay. 44 is available even as low as 43.5 right now, Mark. Looking towards the over.
That's a game over.
Lions, Ravens. Guys, we got one segment left. We'll take a look ahead towards next week's lines. Stay with us. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Sports Grid, Pro Football Full Circle, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno holding it down. Shout out to Matt and Frank behind the scenes doing a great job in the producer's role. Kind of final looks here before we go into Sunday, October 22nd slate. We do have some bye weeks. NFL Week 7, do want to point out. It's the Carolina Panthers on bye, Cincinnati Bengals, Dallas Cowboys, Houston Texans, New York Jets, and Tennessee Titans. So we get a shorter card for next week in the NFL, but want to throw it over to you, Mark. Any final thoughts here, final segment for Mark Zeno?
No. You know, the card, it looks interesting for next week. Again, some really good games. Yeah. Why is that such a short number for Cleveland? I guess because they don't know if Deshaun is going to play, but still, after Cleveland just beat the 49ers, they're only a 2.5-point favorite over the Colts. It's a very strange line.
Yeah, could it be like a letdown spot? I don't know. Just coming up with reasons.
Yeah, that line stinks. Very much stinks. And then there was one more line out there that looked a little fishy to me that I saw. Oh, it was New Orleans getting 1.5 from Jacksonville. I feel like that should be bigger. I feel like Jacksonville should be laying a bigger number, but there's probably one of the true home field advantages left in the NFL is still New Orleans. So I guess that's part of it.
Sure. And the Jaguars, short week. They just played Sunday, now being the team on travel for Thursday night, that Amazon game. It's always a tough travel spot for that team.
Oh, yeah. And the Jaguars were the first team to return to London and not be trailing in the fourth quarter since they started.
Arseno, Drew Martin, guys. Pro football full circle. Sports Grid.